out LK.
Roger, Andrew, it's you.
What's ER, N4, is that LK?
Good evening, Shane. I just wondered if you're still out there.
Oh, hope the weather don't bother you tonight. If you're going south, I don't see why it would, but maybe going home it might. I don't know what time you get turned around.
It's raining for sure. I hope it's not a heavy rain and it's going to feel cold, but I probably will get back here probably 6 or 7. Well, hopefully earlier than that. It's just turned into a long night already, and I'm just getting started.
That's not good. It's 10 after 10, actually. Yeah, it's 10 after 10, almost 10 after 11. Well, sorry to hear that. You got to drive up north a ways, but they said as the day progresses that it should get better out there.
It just rains and doesn't do anything else. Because I surely don't want to try to drive back in on slippery roads, but I doubt it's going to be that way on the interstate coming back out of Atlanta. It might be a little slippery close to my house, though.
So. Do you leave your truck at work or something? I don't know where you pick your rig up at, Shane, and then drive it on home?
I'm going to get a little interference. What did you ask me?
Oh, I just wondered how you did it. Do you leave your pickup truck or something, your work vehicle at your work, and I don't know where that's at exactly, and then drive it on back home when you get back?
I leave this at the building, and I've got my personal truck at work, and I'll drive that back. And it's got four-wheel drive, so if it gets icy, I know brakes don't work when it's icy, but the four-wheel drive helps.
The hard way one time. We bought a Toyota Tercel, and it was four-wheel drive, and I wanted to show it off to my dad, so I pulled up in front of his house and loaded him up, and down 11th Street was just one block, and then there was a T-intersection, and so I showed him how it, with front-wheel drive, how it didn't want to go, so I reached over and pulled the handle into four-wheel drive. It was a little station wagon, and it wasn't the best four-wheeler in the world. But it did all right. But I got down to the next corner. It took right out and went in the snow there up in Kansas. I got down to the next corner. It didn't want to stop, so I downshifted, and I found out real quick, if you downshift and you're in four-wheel drive, it starts to stop a lot quicker, and it started, fishtailing. So I just barely made it around that corner.
You got to be careful. Obviously, you've probably driven in more snow than me, but heavy vehicles don't want to stop when it's icy.
It kept going. And then another time that was embarrassing, I was playing in the Carthage, Missouri band, and I just donate my time. Well, it was 35 miles over there, and Bernice and I drive over there once a week. Well, it was just barely misting snow, kind of like fog over the asphalt, but there wasn't any accumulation on the asphalt. So we're going down there, and we get down to Highway 57, I guess it was, and it was a T intersection. And luckily, there was a dirt road on the other side of it. It wasn't really a T, but the other side was dirt. And they don't have dirt roads down here, but they do in Kansas. So anyway, this car was poking along about 35 mile an hour in a 55. So I went around him when I seen it was safe and had a long ways to go around. Well, needless to say, everything went fine. Down the road, and I went over the crest of this hill and started down the hill towards Highway 57. And I just barely touched the brakes. I was in fifth gear. And the car went completely sideways, same car. So we're going down the road sideways, and I whipped the wheel around the other way and tried to turn into the slide, and the car flipped around, only it went clear around 180 degrees, and we're still going sideways, only with the other door forward. So I looked down at the end of the road there, and lo and behold, there was a car down there stopped. Well, no cars coming, but I didn't know that at the time.
So I whipped the wheel back around the other direction, and lo and behold, it went completely sideways again, sliding down that hill. So there was black ice. And about that time, I seen that old boy let off of his brake lights because I was going to plow into him. And we slid out in the middle of Highway 57. Thank God there wasn't any cars coming. So we sat there and got our breath. So we decided to go ahead and go because the road didn't seem bad. We got on down to Asbury, Missouri, about another 2 or 3 miles down there. And I saw that same car pulled in at the quick stop. So I pulled in, I went in, and I apologized to him. I said, I suppose that you've seen my headlights going back and forth 180 degrees coming at you. He says, oh, yeah, I seen it. And he says, I said, well, thank you for getting out of our way. You prevented an accident. He says, oh, I was just stopped there to get my breath because I'd just done the exact same thing. This is Gerald T.R.
Black ice, when it surprises you like that, is no fun. If you know it's there and you know you can, you're in an area where you can play around a little bit, that's one thing. But when it catches you by surprise and you don't know if you're going to be able to get it out of, you know, stop it or control it, it's a worrisome thing.
And we went sideways 3 times going down that hill. Thank God there wasn't much traffic. So, speaking of excitement, and it's late, I had a little bit of excitement a while ago. Well, the neighbors wanted to catch their cat, and they couldn't catch it. So, anyways, I put out a have-a-heart trap. They wanted to get shots for it or something, and they couldn't catch it. So, or get it spayed, I'm not sure which. So I got an announcement on my phone showing the security camera went off. So I told Bernice, come watch this, and there was a big feral cat that come up out of the timber, and he was all around that have-a-heart trap. And I had put just a little bit of food in front of it to draw him in, because I knew that cat across the street would be over. Well, this cat walked all the way around it, over and over and over and over, trying to figure out a way to get in it. And I told Bernice, I said, that trap is a trip, Bernice. Well, in the last 2 nights, that cat had tripped that have-a-heart trap twice, drugged the paper plate with cat food out on it in front of the have-a-heart trap and ate it to add insult to injury. I'm thinking, well, that big black cat that was out there, it wasn't completely black, but it was a feral cat. I bet that thing weighed 25 pounds. I said, he's done it again. He ate all the food and he tripped the trap. So Bernice is watching me, and the bright quartz lights are on out there in the driveway. I goes out there, and I had put a doormat over the top of it so he couldn't trip it again. I figured he's reaching up on the side of it. And so I couldn't see in the cage. It had a cover over it that she had made. But the trap was tripped. So I didn't lift it up or anything, Shane. I just opened the door on it, and this cat runs right between my legs, and it looked like white lightning going back across the street. She said, boy, you ought to seen the look on your face.
I hope she's got a recording of that on the camera. That'll make your heart skip a beat, won't it? Something like that running out of the cage that quick. Goodness, those wild animals, they're pretty smart, pretty savvy when it comes to things like that. They're not very trusting at all.
It caught a raccoon accidentally one night, and I didn't want it at all. It was for a feral cat, and I had reason. And I wouldn't even attempt to touch that cage because I've seen what a raccoon will do to a coon dog. It's been many years ago, but it was down here. And so I waited till my neighbor got home. I said, Tim, will you help me go release that coon? I said, I don't want to hurt that raccoon. And he said, why is that? I said, I seen him about drowned a coon dog one night. And I said, I don't want him jumping back on me. I said, you hold this stick. And I said, I will. And so I held the stick, and he opened the cage, and that coon, it just sauntered off like, you know, it was a pet coon or something. It didn't bother us at all, but I thought it might. These cats, I've caught them before, and then give them to a farmer friend. And, man, I'm telling you, you get near that cage, and they'll like to carry you alive.
I've had pet cats in a cage before, trying to take them to the vet, and they'll do damage to you, and they're supposed to be your friends.
Yeah, they don't like me, and they have a hard thing at all. I'm careful when I release them. But I didn't even release this one tonight. It was all covered black, and I couldn't see it, and that sucker come running out of there, and it looked like a white torpedo, didn't it, Bernice? And I was telling my daughter about it, and I said, well, I don't really care if that white one got loose, but I'd like to cut that one. She said, well, you're saying you're a cat racist, huh?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's a big cat, 25 pounds. We had a cat years ago, back in the 70s, a friend gave it to us. And they said it was, I don't know if you ever heard of them, they call it a Maine Coon cat. It's got six toes on each paw. And I think that thing weighed about 30 pounds. It was a big old black cat. Best cat we ever had. But boy, he took care of himself. And he lived outside. He'd come in the daytime and then go out at night. Sometimes he'd be gone for 2 or 3 days and he'd come back all scratched up. But he was a really good cat.
I see how they survive out here in this timber. I keep a game camera out there. I don't, deer or anything like that. Now, I don't shoot anything other than a squirrel if he's eating my coax. But I just like to see the wild animals. And so if Bernice has got table scraps, I'll take them down there. It's about 100 yards back there, and I'll put it in front of the game camera and then bring it up, and we sit there and watch the pictures. And I have seen one bear I sent you a picture of, 7 raccoons at one time down there one time. I saw 5 coyotes about 2 years ago, but since then I've only seen 2. But I can hear them, and they're pups. They had pups this year. And then 2 foxes. I love to see the foxes. And once in a while, you'll get one in the daytime. They're red foxes, and they're really pretty. But I don't bother them. But, those cats, some of those things that come out of that timber there, the possums, too. There's the possums usually. I put 3 pieces of chicken down there the other day and poured that honey sauce from KFC on it. And we had kept them a couple of days too long because of the holidays and all the food. And I said, well, give them to the animals. That was the first ones to get them was those possums.
Treated well. They even get the honey sauce on the chicken and everything. I'll tell you what, you guys really take care of them.
Well, when I opened that box and she had those 3 pieces in, I can't walk down there in the cold. I drive the lawnmower down there, and when I opened it, there was one of those honey sauces in there, and I thought, well, I'm going to put that on top of that chicken. I bet you they had a feast.
Or bought a restaurant-bought chicken, because I can't imagine you're throwing out any food that Bernice cooked.
This is Gerald T. No, Shane, it was from KFC. One day she had been doing something all day, and I said, you want to go out to eat? She said, yeah, let's go get some fried chicken. But due to the holidays, we had so much food that they'd sat in the icebox several days, and we usually eat it the next day for cold chicken and a bowl of soup or something. And I said, I ain't eating that after it's been in the icebox several days. And I said, I'll give it to the animals. Yeah, they have a hard time of it, and with all these houses being built and that. But, and I love to see them, so it's fun. Yeah, I just finished off a piece of angel food cake. It's 3 layers thick with lemon filling in between each layer, and her homemade, what kind of icing you call that, Bernice? What is it? EUNIC icing. It's a white icing that she makes with eggs and sugar and what else? sugar and butter and milk and cornstarch. Oh, it's fit to be killed for. I just finished off. Was that the last piece of it? We got one more piece of it, Shane. By the way, if you ever get in a pickle and you need a place to stay, just come up here. We got 3 bedrooms.
It all sounds good. I'm not sure about the lemons. I like lemonade. I like lemons, but I'm not a big lemon dessert kind of a person. But I'll bet I could get used to it, especially if she cooked it. I'm sure it was really good. Anyway, Tom, I'm getting about half of you now. I'm down here at exit 4, going up and down hills. So I'm going to go ahead and let you go before I lose you completely. Good evening to you and Miss Bernice, and you guys be careful tonight. I hope you sleep well. Have a good night. We'll talk to you again. N4 ZLK.
Okay, Shane. It's a real pleasure. I always enjoy it. We're watching one of the more newer modern movies, Kojak. And we just finished watching the Rockford Files, so there's not too much on HF tonight. That storm's getting too near, I guess. I heard a gentleman on the net say that HF was terrible. Be careful out there. N4ZLK in 0TR 73, Shane.
I'm not looking forward to that storm, but we'll talk to you later. Always a pleasure. N4ZLK.
You're still there. This is pretty staticky tonight, but I'll let you listen to this for a second. This is a guy from South Africa that I was telling you about, if you can still copy. That's Bill from South Africa, if you could hear that, Shane, in 0TR.